We have a question in the back first. No, no, there's a question in the back first. Yes. Speak up. Oh, sorry.
It's not a question. I just came a couple minutes ago, but you were talking. It seems like you were talking about different gifts for people, and there's just some verses in Romans that I thought of. Romans 12, 5 through 9. So we pay many a one body of Christ, and every one members one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given in us, whether prophecy, whether to prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that will with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, and things on the I'm not sure if this ties into what you're talking about, but it's different gifts like prophecy, teaching, different things like that, and so everyone does have their own separate job.
Okay, we have three hands, but before that, just wanted to ask, there's an expression, Brother Brian, that if you don't use it, you lose it. Would that be statement be true when it comes to gifts?
Certainly. The Lord says that in
It's true. You don't lose it. But it's like a car. If you don't start it up, the battery goes dead. So you have to get a little booster. You see, and a little boost. You have to, you have to put a charge on it. And the charger is where the Apostle Paul said to him, he says, stir up the gift that is in you. The gift that God has, use it. And the thing is that you don't need the approval of individuals to use the gift that God has given to you. You need the Lord's approval. It's when the Lord telling you, listen, you go ahead and use what I've given to you, but you've got to know what you have. If you don't know what you have, how are you going to use it? So you have to know what is the gift that God has given to you. Next one, how to find out? Listen, ask the Lord.
Yes. Brother Ayo, you had a... Yes. And Brother Greg.
I was going to ask, is there a difference between worship and praise?
You want to take that, brother? Praise the Lord.
Worship the Lord.
Yeah, there is a difference between worship and praise. Actually, many people believe that worshiping is doing something. That there is some activity you're engaged in that is worship. But the truth of the fact, worship is the believer finding himself in the presence of God in the Spirit. One has put it that way. Worship can be experienced another way. Worship is the occupation of my heart with Christ. We get a good idea of this in Psalm 45. The psalmist says, my heart is indicting
a good matter.
He ain't said nothing yet. But his heart was indicting a good matter. This means he was worshiping. But then he goes on to say, he makes mention of thanksgiving. He says, my tongue has become the pen of a ready writer. So worship is that my heart is engaged with the Lord. I am meditating on him. When I'm doing that, I'm worshiping with my mouth shut. But then thanksgiving is I open my mouth and I express what my heart has been enjoying. And if we get this from Psalm 45 and so on, many other psalms, we will appreciate that, like John, he says, I became in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So the man was worshiping. And then he was able to write the book of Revelation and so on. So worship is not words. It is my heart engaged with Christ. Good? Now I want to say something a little earlier about gifts. And it is this. When we come to the gifts that believers have, these are really shall I say, miraculous things that the Lord has actually enabled you to do. And I want to say that miraculous in a very guarded way. I do not mean necessarily that these things are spectacular, that people will clap and shout and no, but I am saying the enablement is of the Spirit of God. The disciples on the day of Pentecost began to speak in tongues and so on. Never went to school to learn Spanish, English, Dutch, nor French. But the Spirit of God gave them at that moment the ability to speak a language that they did not even know. So I am saying that the gifts are really like that. If a person is a teacher in the assembly, that person is given an enablement by God. It only comes from God. It can't come from anywhere. An enablement to expound the Word of God and to help the saints along the lines of rightly dividing the Word of truth and so on. But then in the book of Romans, we read about persons who were without natural affection. So some things we get naturally. God has given to man natural abilities. But when we are talking about gifts in the assembly, these are imparted by the Spirit of God. And so they have a miraculous power to, let's say, be a pastor. It is a gift given by God. Brother Brian was just expounding. This is not something that the man learned somewhere in the school. No. But the Spirit of God gave him the ability to care. That's what pastoral work is all about. A pastor is one who naturally cares for the saints. But then there's another man who might not be a good pastor, but he's an excellent teacher. He can take the scriptures, and as you heard just now, this does not mean like me, that you learn something in some school of education. No. It is that the Spirit of God gives the ability to his children. I know a brother in Barbados who is an excellent teacher of the Word. He never went anywhere at any teaching school to learn anything. The highest he went was he became the manager of a bookstore. Right? And the point is that it was an ability given by God. He can teach. And these are some things. Now, in relation to the music that we had a little earlier, we want to appreciate this. The sister who played the piano for us today, we appreciated it very much, and we hope that she will continue. But look around, what kind of setting are we in? This is not what the Bible calls, we are not gathered in assembly as such. Now tomorrow, when we are gathered on assembly ground, is a different matter. Pardon? When we are gathered on assembly ground, after the assignment tomorrow, Sunday, I mean, right? Yeah. But then we will be in assembly. It would be quite inappropriate then to be playing the piano. And I hope you understand this is the kind of distinction that we have been trying to make. Now, let me give a very crude illustration, but I'm doing this deliberately because I want it to stick home in your heart that this is the kind of distinction we must make. Sometimes I do this when I'm at school. I use an example that a child will never forget. Now, if I wanted to take a bath, do you think it would be right for me to take off my clothes right here while I'm standing? I take my shower here?
No.
But should I take a shower?
Yes.
I should.
Just not here.
And this is precisely the point. The Lord is saying, look, there is a time and a place and a way to do things.
Yeah, the time.
And he's saying, in my assembly, I do not want musical instruments when we are gathered together in assembly. When we have come to worship, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your thanksgiving. I want to know that you're worshiping. But I play the mouth organ sometimes. Not very well.
Harmonica.
And so on. So there's a time and a place for everything. Right? Sometimes when I'm home, I put on music and I listen to it. Right? But I will come here and put on a tape and I play all music for the assembly meeting, and then after the music, oh, we go home and say we had a good time. That's foolishness. That's not what God called us for. And this is the kind of distinction that we want to be clear on.
Give some pre-scriptural reference, because we had mentioned the singing, the music, and so forth are things that David introduced. But if we don't have to read them here, but I want to give the references. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 16 to 24. And 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4 through 6. And in these verses, you will see the introduction of the music and singing and so forth in the things.